Recently, most discussions about the prison system have centered either on the quantity of prisons and overloading the system, or the overwhelming numbers of minorities in prisons, health care in prisons, and in the case of California, what to do with thousands of prisoners when they're released. One issue that may not be on the radar is prison rape. The government decided to start gathering data on the issue with the passage of the Prison Rape Elimination Act in 2003. This year, it was updated to include specific protections for transgender, lesbian, and gay inmates. Studies show that transgender inmates are especially vulnerable to physical and sexual abuse. They're up to 13 times more likely to be sexually assaulted, according to reports by transgender rights advocates. Often, transgender inmates are placed in protective custody, also known as solitary confinement, to protect them from abuse. The act now limits the use of solitary confinement for transgender inmates in response to advocates saying it was inhumane. But these protections don't extend to immigrants held in detention centers or county jails. People like Grace Lawrence, a transgender woman from Liberia who was in custody for nearly 3 years. For all but 6 months, she was kept in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day.
So it was so hard. But that's just me. But the same thing was happening to other transgender that was around me.
Lawyers and advocates argue that continuing to keep immigrant transgender detainees in solitary confinement creates barriers for them, including limiting their access to legal help. Reporter Nancy Lopez tells us Lawrence's story.
Grace Lawrence was born Wellington Felix Lawrence in Monrovia, Liberia.
I'm the oldest of 7 children, and I had to live a double life, and I couldn't speak about me being a trans woman, not even to my mother or my best friend, because I knew the penalty would be death.
That was Lawrence's fear. In Liberia, homosexuality isn't actually punishable by death, but sodomy is considered a first-degree misdemeanor and carries a year-long prison sentence. The predominantly Christian population is pushing for even more criminalizing of being gay or transgender.
This is leading our country to extinction.
We will not condone such a practice. Such a demonic thing should not go in our society.
And we'll fight against
Amen.
It.
Amen.
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 Growing up, Lawrence kept quiet and played the role of the oldest son. In her teens, her family moved to Minnesota. Eventually, she got married to a woman and had 2 children. But by her 30s, she realized she couldn't continue living as a man.
I told my mom that I wasn't only gay, but I think that I was a woman. And it said that I was crazy and it didn't want to have nothing to do with me. So I was kicked out of the family. So I came to San Francisco and tried to find my life and find myself.
Lawrence is built like a football player, over 6 feet tall and muscular. But she has breasts, loves to wear neon green, and has her nails done. When she got here, she was 37 years old, and that's when she began her transition from male to female. As an undocumented immigrant, Lawrence felt she had few options for making a living, especially considering the high cost of transitioning. So she quickly got caught up in drug dealing and using. Lawrence also depended on prostitution to get by, but she still could only afford to live in a hotel room.
Then you got to remember, oh, I got to go hustle for rent today. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't have rent by 6 in the evening, the hotel manager will double lock the doors.
In late 2006, police arrested Lawrence for possession of crack cocaine. Drug possession and prostitution are deportable crimes for immigrants like Lawrence. So after she served her 2-month sentence, she was turned over to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. While awaiting deportation in Santa Clara County Jail, Lawrence was immediately placed in solitary confinement for her protection. That is a general policy for trans detainees, because they are more likely to be assaulted. She was let out for 1 hour each day, and she says that hour went by fast.
There are certain times the child molester people come out, you know, and then There's a certain time the transgender people come out, and then there's a certain time the gangster, you have some, you know, people who drop out of gangs and stuff like that. They come out because we all are in under the isolation or protected custody. And so when you come out, first you got to take your shower, then you got to get on the phone, and you got like 15 minutes to talk to your other friends, you know, because they will let the transgenders out together, you know, would talk, and some people would show pictures, and some of the girls would just be crying, and you just there. I mean, you just in your head, and you like, oh my God, when would this go away?
Lauren says if she was lucky, she'd be let out before 5 p.m. so she could contact her lawyer. But more often than not, she says she was let out at night, after business hours. So Lauren says when she got back to her cell, she'd spend her time writing letters, frantically, asking for help.
You know, I would write letters to my friends, to my lawyer. I would even write letters to the judge, explaining, you know, please don't deport me. This is what will happen, you know what I'm saying? Anybody who I could write, I would write. So I'd rather die than going over to Liberia, having kerosene or gasoline wasted on me and being burned alive, you know, and stuff that they do those things. I've seen it happen to gay people.
We couldn't find reports corroborating Lawrence's claims, but Liberia's current president, Nobel Peace Prize winner Alan Johnson Sirleaf, recently defended the country's current policies.
But at the moment, I mean, voluntary sodomy is illegal at the moment. So in essence, homosexuality for two gay men under the books is illegal in Liberia.
We've got certain traditional values in our society that we'd like to preserve.
This is why Grace Lawrence says she was so afraid of returning to Liberia. So she asked her lawyer to help her seek asylum here in the U.S. But it was still difficult to even communicate.
It's harder to prepare a case for someone who is spending 23 hours a day in administrative segregation. It's harder for them to get out and call me. It's harder for them to get out and call whatever legal advocate might be helping them.
Kara Jobson is a lawyer in San Francisco who's handled hundreds of cases involving immigrant LGBT detainees. She says cases like Lawrence's drag on longer because of their limited access. And Jobson says many of her transgender clients end up agreeing to leave the country voluntarily.
Which they accepted without fighting because the conditions were so bad in jail and because they had no access to information about asylum. And we see a lot of times people don't get their hormones. It's very depressing. It's very physically traumatic for them. It's emotionally traumatic. There's things that go on in the jails, you know, harassment.
So we will call names, you know, faggot, you know, sissy, you know, different names. When we was taking showers, for those of us who had breasts, you know, they would look at us and comment about it and stuff like that.
The Department of Homeland Security declined to be interviewed for this story, stating that the agency does not offer comments on specific allegations. But DHS did provide this statement, saying, quote, ICE has a strict zero-tolerance policy for any kind of abusive or inappropriate behavior in its facilities and takes any allegations of such mistreatment very seriously, end quote. After 3 years in detention, Lawrence suffered a mental breakdown. The first time an immigration judge ordered her to be deported, she attempted suicide.
Because I know there was no life for me in Liberia if I was deported. I said goodbye to my two children, you know, in my heart. I was mad at my family. I was mad at the world. I felt useless, worthless, unwanted. I had nothing left. I have no family member here in California. And so it was the end. It was the end for Grace Lawrence. So I took my sheets, the bed sheets, and ripped it and made a rope high enough. And
a guard arrived just in time to stop her. Lawrence spent the next 6 months in the psychiatric ward of an immigration hospital in San Diego. She was prescribed medication, but would attempt suicide again when faced with another possibility of deportation a year or so later. It seems like just when Lawrence had lost all hope, she got some good news. It was late 2009 when she was called to appear in court, and she remembers the judge's exact words.
"This case is dismissed. I wish you luck, Miss Lawrence." And that's what the judge said. When I went back in the holding cell and then I was on my way back to Santa Clara, shackles as usual, but this time I was so happy. I was so happy because I knew that when the paperwork go through, I would be coming downtown to San Francisco and they would release me.
Lawrence's lawyer, Kara Jobson, had proven that if Lawrence were deported to Liberia, she would be tortured and killed for being transgender. So she was granted asylum under the United States Convention Against Torture. This is one of the more difficult types of asylum cases to win.
Most people who live it and go through it, majority of them are deported and never make it back, like me, to be able to tell the stories of what go on in there.
Lawrence now has a driver's license and a work permit. She volunteers with the TGI Justice Project in San Francisco, where she provides guidance to other transgender immigrant women. And there may be hope for those who are still in detention. President Obama has directed the Department of Homeland Security to draft its own standards for protecting LGBT immigrant detainees from physical and sexual abuse. This would include alternatives to the use of solitary confinement. DHS has until mid-September to comply. In San Francisco, I'm Nancy Lopez for Cross Currents.